Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marches never changed anything.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And he messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box going to get sent back to sender. And now you're going to have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he...
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Business Boutique. I'm so excited about today because I get to introduce you to one of my new awesome friends. Her name is Mignon Francois. Don't I just sound fancy saying that? Y'all, Mignon is incredible. She is just a light in this world and bubbling with personality. She makes me seem quiet and very low-key. She is the founder and owner of the Cupcake Collection. She has a location here in Nashville and one in New Orleans, a multi-million dollar business that she literally started from scratch. You're going to love her story and love her even more. Check this out. Hey, everyone, and welcome to Business Boutique. I'm so excited because I get to hang out with my very good friend, Mignon Francois. Mignon, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. Okay. I'm so excited.
I have talked you up. Ever since you did an interview here at our staff meeting, you are just this light. So for anyone that doesn't know your business and what you do, let's just start with a little bit about who you are and what you do.
I am a stay-at-home mom turned baking prodigy of some sort, where I took the last $5 that I had and I gambled on our on ourselves and turned that into over $10 million in the last 10 years.
Oh, is that all? Okay, okay. We're going to unpack how she did that. Don't worry. Okay, so let's back up. Let's
okay.
back up to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you went through a really low point,
mm-hmm.
and even as you were telling your story, I so identified with that, not because I've been through something similar myself, but my mom has.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom found herself newly single at 33 with a six-month-old baby mm-hmm. and $64 to her name. She had
mm-hmm.
a little bit more money than you did,
yeah.
and trying to figure out, how do I turn this money into a life? How do I turn
yeah.
this money into something that we can survive on,
mm-hmm.
besides just food this week, something beyond that?
Uh-huh.
And she bought supplies yeah. and went and made cakes and then sold them the next day and turned that money
mm-hmm.
into what is now her bakery 35 years later.
Yeah.
So I loved your story, but let's go back to like how you got to that point
mm-hmm.
and what was going on in your head, because now you're this great success story, but at that time you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know what lied ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You've got babies. How many kids did you have at that point?
At that point I had six.
Six kids. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you have seven now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and you're broke and you're like take us back there and what that was like and what was going through your head in that moment of feeling like you're in survival mode.
Well, we had come to Nashville for a better life.
Right.
And then as soon as we got here, the job that we got here for fell through.
Mm-hmm.
Last one hired is the first one fired. But I told God when I came to Nashville, God, I want a home for my children. I'm not doing this same thing anymore. I'm not living in apartments for the rest of our lives. I want a yard for them to play and a fence and rooms that they can call their own. And so almost a year to the date, we moved out of that apartment into what would become our forever home. But it wasn't easy and it wasn't cute or simple, right?
Right.
When we got it, my husband, I was married at the time. My husband called me and he said, I found this house, this cute little neighborhood. It reminds me of New Orleans. And he brought me down there to look at the house. And I was like, this is an ugly house. And the place where you're taking me to eat today better be better than
right,
this
right.
house. And so we went and I saw the people coming out of the houses surrounding this little restaurant. And I said, take me back to that house. And we went inside and we were standing with the floorboards around our knees because we had fallen through the floors. It was condemned.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
I love it.
And there was a sign outside that said owner financing. And I thought that meant that the owner would just give you the money. Like, I really thought they were giving the house away, but that it was just so bad that nobody
right.
really wanted it. And
right.
so we called and we were like, you know, we'll take the owner financing.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like,
not having any idea what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right, sure.
And he was like, it doesn't work like
yeah.
that. And he's like, people want this house. They want to turn it into restaurants and all kinds of stuff. I'm like, nobody's going to do that.
Right.
And so you should just take my deal. I want owner financing. I don't want to pay you for a year. I don't have any money to give you down, as a matter of fact, because I need every bit of whatever money I'm going to get to renovate this condemned property. And he was like, get your life. Goodbye.
Yeah, yeah.
But some time went by, and they actually ended up calling us back and said, hey, you know, are you still interested in the house? You mean the one that everybody's going to buy? Like
right,
all
right.
these people want
to lined up. Yeah, sure.
Want to put restaurants in? Yeah, we're still interested. And so he called us down to talk about working on some other houses for him in exchange for the sweat equity on this house. Now, he's not going to give us any money,
yep.
but I'm going to give you sweat equity towards the $10,000 you need to buy this house, and then then I'll owner finance it for you. But we didn't have a job.
Right.
Because last one hired is the first one fired. And so it's like, yes, we'll take it.
Yeah.
We didn't know how we were going to eat, though.
Right.
We just believed that God wasn't surprised
right.
about this, and that if this was our house, he was going to make a way. And so we showed up with our kids to start renovating that first property that they gave us to work on. And by the end of the 4 weeks that it took us to do it, he had paid us $8,000 in cash
wow.
for our family
wow.
to take care of us. When he made it clear he wasn't giving us anything.
Sure.
So it's like when you follow in obedience what God tells you to do, he's responsible for the outcome.
Mm.
And that's the thing that I've learned over the whole process of doing the Cupcake Collection. And any story that I hear all these women begin to come and tell me about how they want to start. And that has been my life's work now, Christy, to do what it is. I believe that I want to show other women what they can do if they believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm using my mouth for. That's using my energy, my time, my gift, my talents for. And so it took us 4 weeks to flip that house for them. And we got the property. We moved into it. It was 2 rooms and a half bathroom. Mm-hmm. And the half bathroom was a toilet and a tub.
Mm-hmm.
My children didn't complain about the fact that we had plywood floors. I mean, they were happy that we were together. And I don't think that they knew that we were broke.
Yeah.
And that's a word that I won't even allow my children to really say,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's something that we don't really use in our family mm-hmm. because broken has nothing to do with the money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they didn't know that we were broke.
Yeah.
We didn't have any money, and our situation was dire.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I were going through a time where, you know, the economy was tanking, and one of the biggest things that makes marriages fail is finance.
That's right.
And so we didn't have any.
Yeah.
And then we didn't have much work either.
Right.
And so I prayed, and I said, God, give me something mm-hmm. that I can do to help my husband make ends meet. Because to me, he looked like death. And when you're really close to someone, as you are when you have a spouse, you can read them.
Right.
You know, like I could see it underneath his skin.
Yeah.
Like he looked like death to me. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that he wasn't dying. He was dying to me.
Mm.
That our relationship was dying
mm-hmm.
And that God was resurrecting something new in me. Now, I'm not an advocate for divorce,
sure.
you know, in any kind of way, but everybody has to want to work for it, right?
Right.
And so when you find yourself in a position where after 21 years of marriage, my husband says, I want a divorce. And even in that, we still opened the cupcake collection together
mm-hmm.
because it was like, what do I have?
Right.
I have nothing.
Yeah.
I have taken care of your children.
Right.
My life has been you.
Right.
And our home. Now what am I supposed to do? I had a degree, you know.
Right.
And I had used my life to raise our family.
Yeah.
What about me?
Right. Right.
And so he said, I'll stay with you to open this business. Mm. And that's something most people don't know. We knew when we opened that business together that he was staying long enough to get me on
wow.
my feet.
Wow.
And so even through that, we sort of mended ourselves back together for a time, but it just,
sure.
you know, it just didn't end up working out. But what we did was I heard God say, make cupcakes. When I asked God, I was trying to help him.
Right.
I didn't know that God was going to turn around and use it to help me.
Right.
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 And so I was listening to Dave Ramsey every day. I grew up in a household where we listened to NPR,
uh-huh.
you know,
yeah.
and on the way to school every morning with our mom, we would hear the rest of the story.
We
would listen for the rest of the story. And I was kind of looking for something
sure.
like that when I discovered Dave Ramsey.
Sure.
And I heard the first time I stopped on the radio station, I heard them screaming, we're Ted Free.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I got so much joy on the inside of me. I wanted that.
Yeah. Sure.
And I was like, turning up the radio. What are they saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what are they talking about? And they were going off the air. And I was like, what was that?
Yeah.
And I was panting for some of that because my mother had raised us to be debt free. I mean,
yeah.
she taught me financial responsibility. She taught me that the borrower was slave to the lender. And I remember having my first credit card when I was 15 and getting punished because I couldn't pay the bill out completely when the bill came in. So not only did she take my credit card, she took everything I purchased with it, and she took my paychecks until they were paid.
Wow.
So I understood what it meant
sure.
to lose my stuff, and mm-hmm. I never wanted to lose my stuff again.
Yeah.
But here we were. I was listening to him, and I was waking up every morning at 3:17. And what I want people to know is sometimes when you get up in the morning – and you think it is that you're turning off the stove or you want to check the doors. For me, I wanted to make sure my children were breathing.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
a lot of moms feel that way.
Yeah.
And I turned on the TV one morning because I couldn't go back to sleep, and Wayne Dyer was on the TV, and he was saying, the morning breeze has something to tell you.
Mm.
Do not go back to sleep. And I was like, that sounds crazy.
Right.
You're getting off my TV.
Yeah.
So it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm looking for my remote. He says it again. And now I'm looking high and low.
Yeah.
And he says, God is trying to talk to you. Mm. And this is the only time you'll be silent. And I was like,
well, that's true. My kids are asleep. This is the only time that it's going to be silent in my house. That's
and
valid.
I was like, I can relate to that because
yeah, okay.
I know God,
that's
right? And so I sit down and listen. He says, the thing you're getting up every morning for, that's not what it is.
Mm.
And I was like, whoa,
he's speaking to me. That's right.
I love it.
And so he said, you know, now that you know that you're getting up for a purpose to hear God, it's going to be hard.
Took me about a week after following his instructions to put my feet on the floor and show up in my living room one morning at 3:17 with the Lord. God, I'm here. What are we doing?
Yeah.
I don't really know how to hear you. I really don't know what you sound like. And if you come in here right now, God, please don't, because I'm
scared out of my mind. That's right.
Right. I don't want you to show up, but I really kind of want you to show
That's
up.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
And so I did what the only thing I knew how to do. I saw my Bible sitting under the coffee table and I grabbed it and I opened it to wherever it would fall. And it fell on chapter 3 of this particular book. And I ran down the 17 and I got my first word from the Lord.
Wow.
And I began to search feverishly then through the Bible
right.
in every chapter 3 that there was in every verse 17. And I
wow.
would read on until it didn't apply anymore.
That's right.
Until I read the whole entire Bible that way.
Wow.
And I think it was about 6 weeks that I was, once I knew what I was getting up for, that, you know, I had seen God say, write the vision, make it plain. So I got me a journal. I started writing everything that I was reading. And he began to lay out for me all of the things he wanted me to know, that he loved me, that I was good enough, because I was broken, Christy. Like, I didn't think I was pretty. I didn't think I was good enough. I didn't think that I would ever be able to finish anything because I had really great ideas, but I never would finish them.
Yeah.
I would always start, but I would never finish. I've learned in the process, and God will give you so many things as you go and follow him, and you think what you're getting up every morning to actually effectively make happen is the goal, but God has something else because his ways are not our
That's
ways.
Right.
I know how to start. My ministry is not necessarily in finishing,
right.
but I learned that there was a positive spin on that I could help people get started. In that time, God gave me a plan. And then when he gave me that plan, one of the last verses that he said to me was, I listen, choose life, Mignon. I lay before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life. So I realized that I had a responsibility in this. This was the last thing God was going to give me.
Yeah.
This was the last idea that he was going to watch me start and not follow
yeah.
through.
Yeah.
And you know, because even though I'm not a finisher, there's still a way not to leave it on the side
right,
of the road,
right?
Right? Just,
right.
Oh, I'm not
there's
doing that anymore.
There's a stewardship element
yeah.
to this.
Like
right.
you can package it and give it to somebody else, or you can say this, you can write about it and teach it to someone. I mean,
right.
you're not supposed to just leave things on the side of the road.
Right.
And that's kind of like how I was doing it. And I learned at 3:17 in the morning that God had chosen me for something, and he was not playing with me, that this was going to be my life, and I could go to the left, or I could go to the right. And I decided to choose life.
Mm.
And so in choosing life, I heard Dave Ramsey say, you could have a bake sale. And I thought, you could have a bake sale every single day.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't know how to bake.
Right.
Not even
minor detail. Whatever. Sure. We're going to unpack that. Don't worry.
And he said, but you have these two little girls, and they can. But as we got started, my oldest daughter let me know, hey, Mom, I have a plan, and it really doesn't
include that involve you and these cakes. Hey, I can relate to her. As my mom tried to pull me into the fold, I was like, my dreams don't involve icing. Thank you. I grew up with icing. Yeah.
And she wanted to go back to New Orleans. And so without her, my baby daughter wasn't interested. So now I got to learn how to bake.
Yeah.
We had all these culinary books in the house. My husband was passionate about baking and cooking and food because we're from New Orleans. And so he wouldn't help me. He's like, they got books in there. You know, I was like, fine. I had the secret weapon, my grandmother.
Mm.
My grandmother would be who the movie The Help would have been made about,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
She left her children at home while she went to take care of another family.
Okay.
And but every day there was food, and every day there was cake. And what I loved about going to my grandmother's house was eating. And I love when grandma would come because there would be food, because my
sure.
mother didn't cook.
Sure, sure.
I mean, she's a great cook, but she's not
right,
happy
right,
about it, right?
Right?
And so I would snap beans with my grandmother. And God says, honor thy father and thy mother that your days may be long on the land. And here's what I realized. Long doesn't always mean time. Long could mean abundant, right? So that it be well
right.
with you. And so I think that God honored all the time that spent my grandma because I love that chick. You know?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
oh, yeah.
I hang with
you
her.
You didn't even know at that time what that was going to
yeah.
that was gonna play out in your life.
I call her on the phone before unlimited long distance.
You're right, sure.
And my mom's like, look, 5 minutes. That's
uh-huh,
it. That's
uh-huh.
all I can afford to give you. And we made a deal. If you will make the food, I will wash the dishes because I hated washing dishes. My mother hates cook. This
yep.
was when I was 17,
okay.
living at home in New Orleans. And I said, fine. Called my grandmother, told her what we're going to do. She's like, all right, this is what you need to get. Well, here I am. I've learned how to cook long distance with my grandmother
sure.
on the phone. So 17 years later, I need to do something in the kitchen. Who
right.
am I going to call?
That's right.
I'm going to call my grandmother.
That's right.
And I said, grandma, I need to make a cake. She's like, open up your hand. Pick this much flour up. Pinch your fingers together. Measure to this first line. I mean, that's the way she told me how to do it. But standing there looking at everything my grandmother gave me on a piece of paper, I got my first successful thing that ever baked.
Yeah.
I learned God wanted to create this with me.
Mm.
While I couldn't bake well out of a box even, I mean, you just add the thing
right,
that
right.
they say.
Two eggs is all you need, some oil.
It's going to come out. It doesn't come out for me.
Yeah.
And he was teaching me that I was going to have to depend on him.
Take me back to this season of the Lord is speaking to you at 3:17 in the morning. When did you get the idea? Was it the Dave Ramsey bake sale? You could have a bake sale. Was that when cupcakes entered your mind?
I don't know.
When did it turn into the cupcake idea?
I think it became cupcakes because I was trying to bake cakes, you know,
okay.
and I couldn't decorate them.
Okay.
And I didn't have the skill to do that.
So let's talk about that season right there. Like, you
mm-hmm.
have an idea. You're trying to do something. It's not turning out great.
Yeah.
And you need something to work for you. You need
mm-hmm.
a business. You need a plan. You're trying to provide for your family. Why did you not think, oh, this isn't for me. I should do something else? What made you press through and say, I'm going to figure this thing out. I'm
mm-hmm.
going to follow through, that type of thing. Like, talk me through that. Because I think a lot of women watching and listening
mm-hmm.
are facing challenges, and they're having trouble discerning, do I push through this challenge
mm-hmm.
and find a way to make it work?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this just a sign I'm not cut out for this.
Yeah.
I should actually do something different. So take me back to that, because that's difficult, I think, sometimes
mm-hmm.
to know the difference.
I think for me, I really understood when I read that Bible verse, choose life,
mm-hmm.
that I really thought I was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought it was over for us. And I was tired of being sick and tired.
Right.
You know, it's one thing to be sick, but then to be sick and to be tired,
right.
that's just drained. And I was drained of not having enough. I heard some rap lyrics.
Oh, let's have it. Bring it. Okay, I'm ready for this. We got Jesus and rap music. You are my kind of girl. Here we go.
I heard this song that has been touted as one of the best rap collaborations of all time. Jay-Z
okay.
and Kanye West.
Okay.
The song is called Otis. And I'm listening to this rap song, and Kanye says, they ain't see me. Because last week, I was in my other bins. This time, I was in my other bins. And I'm like, hold on a second. He has options, and they're luxurious. And I don't have a car.
Right. Right.
You know, and it's just like, why is it that Jay-Z and Beyonce and Kanye and Lil Wayne have all this abundance? Are they more loved by you, God? Like, do they have more of your favor? And I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I started realizing that there was something that was required of
mm-hmm.
me, and that was work.
Okay.
Because Adam and Eve, when they went into the garden,
mm-hmm.
and I discovered Rabbi Lappin
yep.
on your show.
Yep.
And I started following and reading his book, and I learned this concept that they probably had the best digs of all time. I mean, you can't get a better house
right.
than the one that Adam and Eve had.
Right.
But yet work was required of them. God yep. said, go work.
It is good. That's right. The work is good.
And
right.
I think that that's what I realized, that you think that when an idea comes to you, it should just happen.
Right.
But overnight success takes 10 years.
Yeah.
And there's a reason that it takes 10 years, because you got to learn all of the pieces, and you got to get humble. You got to be grateful for where it is that you've been
yeah.
in order to get more.
Yeah.
And it takes time for that revolution to happen.
Yeah.
And I learned that work was required of
yeah.
me, and I had to do the work.
Okay, so I think this is huge. I want to camp here for a second, because I think it's incredible that you can look at someone that is a famous, a celebrity, rich, name all the things.
Mm-hmm.
But let's even take a different example. Let's say it's not Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it's someone in your neighborhood
mm-hmm.
and they're wealthy and
yeah.
they have a lot of money. I think a lot of people would look at that,
mm-hmm.
whether it's Jay-Z or someone in your neighborhood that drives a Benz or whatever, and they would think, well, they just got a lucky break.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have all this help.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have it's family money.
Uh-huh.
And what's amazing to me is you saw that as personal responsibility to respond to the opportunity,
mm-hmm.
to do the work that would be required to reap the fruit that you wanted in your life, where so many people are stuck, and they've been stuck, Mignon, for
mm-hmm.
5, 10, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I don't know why I'm stuck. Well, everybody else just has it easy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else fill in the blank. And they
mm-hmm.
take a victim mentality. And if you have a victim mentality, you will get victim results.
Exactly.
And I love that you saw this.
Mm-hmm.
And someone as elevated as Beyonce and Jay-Z, which are so removed from you and I in real life, and you didn't see that as, well, of course, they're famous, they're rich, all the things that would be true.
Yeah.
They got 16 nannies, whatever. Like, if I had that, that would be so easy to say, but instead you thought, no, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to do some work required. You
mm-hmm.
know, this is funny. This is a random sidebar here, but recently I put a thing on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
Actually about Beyonce and mm-hmm. how much she practiced
yeah.
and worked. Like, she rehearsed
8 hours.
Hours. Months.
Eight months. For 2 hours.
For 2 hours. 8 months for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of people like, oh, that's so encouraging. And there were a couple of people like, well, yes, yeah, she has lots of help and she's not a great example. And I'm like, there's anybody that you can find fault with
yeah.
or you can learn from.
Yeah.
And there are people that you can pull their work ethic. You can, you know, if someone's rocking it at their marriage,
mm-hmm.
I want to go learn from them. And yeah. I mean, they're perfect and everything.
Yeah.
I may not go to Beyonce to teach me about Jesus. That's fine. But I can learn from her work ethic, right? Like, you can learn something from everyone. If someone's rocking it in an area of their life in business, I'm going to
mm-hmm.
go learn business from those people that are rocking it. And I just love that that was your takeaway.
Yeah.
I just want to commend you. Like, that was your takeaway in that moment, where it would have been so easy to be like, well, that's them, that's not me.
Yeah.
Well,
here's one of the things that I know is that Jesus taught in parables because they were relatable.
Right.
That you could remember a story. And so that's why it works to tell my story or to tell other people your story, because they can see themselves in it.
Right.
Well, here's the aha moment I had the other day.
Okay.
Rap songs are modern day parables.
Mm.
It's just who is delivering it.
Right.
What is the message?
Right.
Because God can use a donkey.
That's right.
To
That's
speak
right.
to you.
That's right. And he has.
And he has.
Right.
And he will. And so it's like, what are you listening to?
Mm.
My mother told us that we were great. I mean, she was the biggest cheerleader. So I think that I always had this greatness living on the inside of me. And when I was a little girl, I knew I was going to be famous. Like, I don't want that to sound arrogant or
anything,
but, like, I always knew I was going to be famous. I didn't know what it was going to be for. But this is why. Because I believe that God didn't waste my fabulous name on nobody knowing
that
it.
That is a fact. That name needs to be in lights. It's a great name.
I was like, this is a fabulous name, and people need to know it. So I have to do my due diligence
yeah.
to make my name great.
Yeah.
So all of that was living on the inside of me. And yeah, I didn't just have the example of Beyonce, because remember, I told you about a condemned house that I moved
right,
in.
Right.
But it was in an affluent neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, where everybody that was rich was buying up all these properties that people in my community couldn't afford to buy.
Right.
And I was like one of the few that happened to have this blessing fall upon me. God says,
said owner financing is free. I mean, no one else knew that that's what that meant. You took advantage of that opportunity.
But God said, I will open you a window of heaven and pour you out a blessing.
Mm.
that there will not be room for you to receive it. I believe that. And here's the thing. If God is a man that he could not lie, then if we know what the promises are, all we have to do is repeat them back to him. It's just like with your kids. Mommy, you said, mommy,
oh, they'll tell you what you said.
Oh, yeah, they
Carter
will tell
not let me forget what I said.
But we don't do that to God.
Right, right.
God has told us certain things,
yeah.
And it's science. It will work for you,
yeah,
if you apply it.
Yeah.
And I just got it in my heart. My neighbor across the street was a huge supporter of me. She lived in this big, gigantic mansion, just two of them, her and her husband.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, I got all my kids over here.
Right.
We don't have running water half the time. We don't have electricity some of the time. And my kids never went around saying, we don't have anything.
Right, right.
There were many days that they went to school and they had to eat breakfast and lunch at school because our dinner is not sure. We're going to eat. But we were what is more commonly known in Middle Tennessee as the food insecure, meaning that you're going to eat, but you're not sure what.
Right.
You're not sure what time. There were many days we ate at 10 o'clock at night because that's when something was killed to, bring home to eat. But they never complained about that. And I feel like I learned at 3:17 in the morning that your reward is based on how you go through the problem.
That's good.
Your provision,
yep,
is based on the way that you travel through the,
yeah,
problem. I didn't want the poor me award.
Yeah. Even your attitude with the plywood floors. Like,
mm-hmm,
you're like that. I love that you're talking about that because that matters. I think a lot of people in business or in life, they are in a season of difficulty, small beginnings, unimpressive starts, and they're, mm-hmm, like, poor me.
Yeah.
I only have 200 followers. Poor me. It's like, if you're not faithful with the 200, God's not, yeah, going to give you 2 million. So it's like, if you don't have the right heart, the right spirit, the right gratitude, the right humility, the right work ethic,
mm-hmm,
with the 200 followers,
mm-hmm,
with your humble beginnings,
mm-hmm,
with your unimpressive, terrible first keynote that you ever did, or your first product, your first cake that just sucked and no,
yeah,
one wanted to eat. If you're not faithful with that, he's not going to give you more,
yeah,
to be ungrateful and unhappy and joyless about. So I just,
mm-hmm,
love your attitude and your spirit through all this because there's such important lessons. I,
mm-hmm,
think so often in business we think, oh, I just need the business steps.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you need the character.
Yeah.
You need the steps, but you need the character to carry you through those,
yeah,
steps first. And you, like, I just love these takeaways that,
mm-hmm,
you're like, I didn't want the poor award.
Yeah.
I didn't want that mindset.
Because I heard God say at 3:17 in the morning,
yeah,
that when you're fasting, I took it from that Bible verse. When you're fasting, don't go around telling people,
right,
and walking around with a long face. And I thought that probably applies to everything else,
right,
that you're going,
right,
through. Like, don't walk around saying, oh,
I'm so pitiful.
Like,
and
nope, everybody has their own challenges. You don't,
right,
know what those are. But if you can be grateful for where you are, like, you can't get more until you're,
that's right,
grateful,
that is
for what
biblical,
it is that,
that's,
you,
right,
have.
That's right.
And so I think that was the thing that changed my life because I think I was bitter.
Yeah.
I was a bitter woman. But I learned this wonderful lesson. As I've been able to go around and speak to people, doors have been open for me. And Dr. Jackson taught me this wonderful concept that none of us know our first name.
What do you mean by that?
And so it's like this, you know, hi, I'm Mignon.
Uh-huh, Christy, nice to meet you.
Hi, yeah. Christy. But if you were to say it in a sentence, how would you say it to me? If you're going to introduce yourself to me, and I said, hi, I'm Mignon.
Hey, I'm Christy Wright.
Nice, oh, right.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm Christy Wright. Nice to meet you. There's something similar about my name and your name. We both did the same thing. When I stuck my hand out to introduce you, you said the same thing that I said. And so I learned that on the day that I was born, my parents gave me a gift. That was my name. And that's because they wanted me to individually be recognized as I went throughout the world. And sometimes we're arrogant to believe that we place those names on our children when, in fact, those are funneled to us from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
In the Bible, we see all these examples where God told people to name their children things, and they knew that those names came from the Lord. But now we're so far removed from God that we don't realize that God is still telling us what to name our children.
Yeah.
Otherwise, all Kimberlys wouldn't act the same.
Right, 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 right. Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And so my parents gave me a name because they wanted me to know who I was and to stand out as an individual. And then they gave me something else. They gave me their name so that I would know whose
I was.
That's right.
So when I went into the street, if there was another mignon, they would be distinguished that this is my mignon. This is the family that I come from, so that I would know whose I was.
Mm-hmm.
But God also gave me something on the day that I was born. He gave me his name so that I would know that he would never leave me, that he would always be with me, and that is I am.
I love that.
The word of God says, who do men say that I am?
Mm-hmm.
We're all these, he's all these people.
Yeah.
He's living on the inside of all of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a Bible verse that says, tell them that I am sent you.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I say I am, I put on the first part of my name.
Oh, I love
that. So that
this.
I know that all things are possible for me.
That's right.
And when I think about the word impossible, it's just the contraction that says I am possible.
That's right.
That means that there's nothing that's impossible with God.
I love that.
And so God is always with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And he's giving you that promise to carry with you everywhere you go, even when you just speak your name.
Yeah, that's I've never heard it put that way. That's beautiful.
Yes.
I love that. I love, because I think so often, Christine Kane talks about this, but so often we understand intellectually God is the creator of the universe and anything is possible with him, and we completely disconnect ourselves from that as that lives in us.
Mm-hmm.
That lives in us all day, every day,
mm-hmm.
that power, that spirit. And so I just love, I am.
Yes.
I love it. I'll never introduce myself the same way again. You know, I love it. Okay, before we wrap up, I want to talk specifically about belief, because we're talking about that in this show.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those things, even as you tell your story, like you believed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you didn't believe in yourself every single second. Maybe you didn't believe in your circumstances, but you always believed in a hope for the future, this
mm-hmm.
idea of choosing life. And I think that when you're in a hopeless situation, when your house is condemned, you're falling through the floors, you don't know how to bake out of a box, and the box that you did bake was not good, you got $5 to your name, like, how do you believe and how do you maintain belief? What keeps you anchored when you're going through those seasons where you don't have any proof around you that the future is good, that God does have a plan for you, that you don't have any signs or indications of how it's going to work out,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you're standing
mm-hmm.
in front of the Red Sea
uh-huh.
and God has brought you to this impossible
mm-hmm.
place.
Yes.
How do you have that faith that carries you through? Let's
I've
talk about that.
I've seen him do it.
Mm.
You know, I always love to teach about this. There is a Bible verse, Hebrews 11:1, says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And what I love about that is one day I was sitting reading the Bible. Like, you have to know the promises in order to apply them. Like, you know, when you get in your car, you believe that it's going to start.
Right.
You know, I believe that when I go and turn on the light switch, the lights are going to come on. These are things I believe because I've seen them happen. I've seen God perform in my life. I've also seen him perform in other people's lives. And I was like, God, what makes them better than me that you should give them more than you've given me? But I've got 7 children. I know I can't treat them all the same.
Right.
So the Bible says, according to your faith, be it unto you.
Wow.
So the same thing goes for people. You know, mothers could understand this. I can't treat Johnny the way that I treat Ashley, because Ashley wants to stay after school. She wants to be on the cheerleading squad. She wants to join, you know, the 4-H club. She wants to do all this stuff. So I've got to change my schedule around, do all this stuff for Ashley, because this is what Ashley has worked on.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Johnny just says, Mom, can you make sure that I have snacks because I'm going home?
Right.
Right?
Right.
And all I have to do is make sure that there's a roof over Johnny's head, and Johnny is set and he's over here.
Thank God we all have some Johnnies in the family, right? Like, it's like, mamas are tired. We need a Johnny here and there. That's my Carter. Yeah.
But it's according to Ashley's faith.
That's right.
That as her mom, I have to show up for her.
That's right.
And do the things that she needs me to do as her mother.
That's good.
And I think that that's the way that God is. God says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and does what? Opens it.
That's right.
Like, the door is not going to be open
right.
for you. You must open the door.
Right.
So work is required of us. And I think that that's what I realized, that it wasn't that they were more special than I was. It wasn't that they got a lucky break. It was like, what is the work that they put in? I started asking people, what did you do to get here?
Mm-hmm.
I began interviewing people
yeah.
like, Why is it that you're here? Yeah. What did you do? And I started realizing some of the most successful and wealthy people came from some of the lowest.
I was going to say, I would be willing to bet that when you interviewed these successful, wealthy people, none of them said, I don't know, it was an accident.
Yeah.
I just woke up here one day on the mountain. No one said that, right? No one said it happened overnight.
Yeah.
It was easy. It was fast. And it was accidental.
Yeah.
No one said that. And we have this myth because what's amazing is when we completely remove successful people from the work required that got mm-hmm. them there, then it gives us an out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it's out of your control, then it's out of my control
mm-hmm.
for me. I can just
yeah.
sit here and feel sorry for myself. But when you start to see, we live in a world where you reap what you sow.
Mm-hmm.
And there is the parable of the talents. When
mm-hmm.
you are faithful with a few things, you will be entrusted with many things. And
mm-hmm.
so I love that because even as you did research, you start to see there's a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And God is a God of patterns.
Yeah.
Like you start to see
yeah.
this pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, work is required.
Yeah.
Dave Ramsey tells a great story that I love. I'm probably going to mess it up, but it's kind of a parable story about how a wealthy man was walking along a road and he passed this beautiful farm. Like, imagine a plantation with perfectly manicured fields and the landscaping and the house was painted, the fence, everything was immaculate.
Mm.
And the farmer was out working the field and the businessman came along and he said, oh, wow, farmer, God has blessed you.
Mm-hmm.
God has blessed you with this beautiful, immaculate farm. And the farmer said, yes, he has. And you should have seen what it looked like when he had it to himself. In that, it's like, it's us and God.
Yes.
It's like, God will bless you and
right.
work the field.
Mm-hmm. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if you want things, if you want to activate the heart of God, you got to get on his level.
Yeah.
Because God emptied out heaven for you that you might have life more abundantly or to the full.
Right.
And so if God emptied out heaven for you and you expect to do mediocre things, but then you want God to give you
right,
great and amazing
right.
blessings. It doesn't work that way.
Yep.
But when you activate now faith, you become on the same level of what he invested. Now faith is not having any evidence that what I believe is going to work. Now faith doesn't test it. Now faith doesn't know that when I get in my car, I'm going to turn this thing and it's going to start up and it's going to go. I've seen it happen.
Right.
Faith will allow you to believe in something that you've seen happen before,
yeah.
but now faith doesn't give you any warning.
Mm-hmm.
Now faith just says, hey, I believe that this will work, so I'm going to start doing it right now.
Yeah.
When you activate your now, you activate all you own, which puts you in line with what God said, I invested in you.
Yeah.
I invested everything in you. So now you're investing everything in God because you're giving him back all that you have, and all that you have is right now. You don't wait to say, well, God, I'm going to wait until you give me the money.
Right.
I'm going to wait until I graduate from college. I'm going to wait until my children grow.
I'm going to wait
until
I'm ready.
Yeah. There's a study that says that 98% or 95% of Americans are waiting for some big major event to happen before they start living. But this says, I will live right
okay.
now. And when you O-W-N, you're N-O-W, what happens? You W-O-N.
Mm.
And that's what I realized.
Mm-hmm.
It was about perspective, that when I activate everything I got, God says, okay, now you're serious
mm-hmm.
because I was serious about you, so I gave you everything I had. So give me everything, and then you can start asking me for more. I think that God wants to do more stuff. He wants to give us more stuff.
Right.
But you know what we keep asking him for? Simple things that he's like, I'm not doing that for
yeah.
you. I gave you the ability to tie your shoes, just like the farmer.
Right.
You know, you can you right. imagine what it looked like when
right.
he when
right.
he had
right.
it by himself?
Right.
Like, he gave you the opportunity. He gave you your hands. He gave you a mind. He gave you vision to be able to work something. That's why where there's no vision, people perish.
Because
mm-hmm. you can't see
yep.
where you're going. You don't
there's
know
no hope. There's no,
what
yep.
to do with it.
Yeah.
But God gave you the ability to tie your shoes, so you don't get to ask him, God, can you tie these shoes for me?
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm not doing that.
That's right.
ask me for something
that's
more.
That's right. Try again. I love this theme of how we've even come full circle to faith because even I did Devo for our company where we do devotional once a week. And in January, a couple years ago, I did this. And I was teaching from Matthew, and I'd never seen this correlation. I'd always seen a cause and effect in Scripture of because of your faith,
mm-hmm.
you've been healed. Because
mm-hmm.
of your faith, I will bless you. Because of your faith, because of your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews, the whole chapter of 11
yeah.
is by faith, by faith, by
yeah.
faith, Sarah, by faith, Abram, by faith. You know.
Yeah.
And so you start to see this correlation between faith and then God rewards that, God blesses that
mm-hmm.
and honors that. But in Matthew, there's a story where the disciples couldn't drive out a demon-possessed man, and they came to Jesus. Jesus drives out the demon, and they asked Jesus afterwards, like, hey,
why couldn't we do that? And he
mm-hmm.
said, because you had so little faith.
Yeah.
So there's also the opposite cause and effect of when we have a lack of faith, like you're saying, when we're mm-hmm. sitting here going, oh, poor me, or God, I don't know if you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll wait till this circumstance gets changed and then I'll live my life. God's not going to bless that.
Yeah.
He's not actually going to bless that. Mm-hmm. So I love it. Oh, Mignon, I could talk to you all day. I told y'all. She is a firecracker. I just love your story. I love your heart. I love how Jesus just shines through you, through the words that you share, that through the insights that you have. And you are leading this amazing business that people love the cakes. Like you have refined the recipe. She's these amazing, really cool recipes. We were talking about, what was it, Jack and Coke.
Yeah.
Jack and Coke cupcakes. Who doesn't want one of those? But I remind women all the time, they think there's this separation between business and the marketplace,
mm-hmm.
a for-profit, you know, secular marketplace mm-hmm. business and their faith. I'm like, no, God is in your business because
mm-hmm.
God is in you and you are in your business and you are such an example of that. Tell people for anyone in Nashville or New Orleans where they can find the cupcakes.
So we are at thecupcakecollection.com. We're on Twitter as Cupcake Tweets. We're on Facebook and Instagram as The Cupcake Collection. So those are all the places that they can find me. Or if they just want to talk to Mignon, I'm Mignon.Francois on Instagram.
Awesome. Thank you so, so much. Thanks so much for watching. And don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube channel. And now you can check out this next video.
Thank you. We'll be on in about, we're opening up everybody's mic, almost everybody's mic, well, everybody's mic in about 2.5 minutes. Today's It's My House is titled Building Materials Wish List. Building Materials Wish List. We shall post up on our Facebook page, and our Facebook page is titled It's My House TV. Just go to Facebook, It's My House TV. That's our Facebook page. Late this afternoon, we'll post up our wish list. We got two types of wish lists. We got, well, it'll be one wish list divided into two sections. One for tools and then one for building materials. Okay, this will be one wish list, one for with tools and one for building materials. And then the instructions will be on there if you want to donate any tools and or building materials for our community-based project, because we're ramping up a community-based business. So that'll be, put it this way, by 10:30 tomorrow afternoon, not tomorrow afternoon, by 10:30 tomorrow morning Eastern Standard Time, that wish list will be up on our Facebook page, which is It's My House CB. So it'll be one wish list, but it'll be for tools and building materials. So you can get in where you fit in. Okay. Now, I want to cover, of course, it depends on you guys, a trending topic, or at least a news article, news piece that I caught last night or early this morning, one of the two. There was this guy, and he's just one of a few. I don't know how many, but you know there's more than one. Well, there's this law-abiding citizen that was catching a domestic flight, I think from North Carolina to California. And he was going to buy some equipment for his business. And he was carrying cash. in his carry-on luggage, and he wasn't trying to hide anything. He had it in his, he had like $100,000 in his carry-on luggage, earned by legal means for the purposes of buying equipment for his business. And it wasn't a round trip ticket or anything. I think it was just, man, it was a domestic flight, man. Okay. So, you know, he didn't try to hide anything. He had it in his carry-on luggage, which makes sense. You don't check anything like that. You know, you carry it close to you. So, anyway, it shows up on, you know, screen, so TSA. Now I'm looking at, man, what was the real reason they had 9/11? Now, I'm typically not a conspiracy theorist. Now, you got me thinking, like, when I'm thinking, what was the real reason for 9/11? Anyway, so, you know, they see the cast through the x-rays, and then they pull them to the side, and then they interview them. And long story short, without criminally charging him, without arresting him, okay, they confiscate his money. As he says in the video, he got robbed by the federal government via the TSA or whatever agency. Well, it was TSA that flagged him up. So, it got me to thinking, like I said, I'm typically not a conspiracy theorist, but I'm thinking, was this in the works way back on 9/11? Because they set up the TSA, like, I mean, really quick. That federal agency went up, like, very fast. So I guess one moral to the story is don't travel with a lot of cash. If you guys got any comment on that, I don't have the audio of that queued up here. Well, I don't have it in my library at all. I'm still operating this new phone, so I have to figure that function on here. But any comments on that? 619-768-2945 is the number called to comment on. Once you get in the studio, press 1. So let's see if we can get some takers on that. And we'll be back here right after this little musical interlude.
Push.
The original film Superfly, and in the reboot, which took place, they had the reboot of Superfly. I mean, 2-3 years ago, something like that, before the pandemic. In both of those versions of Superfly, the film Superfly, Superfly had to deal with some dirty cops, government officials. You know, they were trying to shake him down for his cash. Well, in any event, like I said, before I played the Superman, we did, you know, the Superfly interlude there. There's a video that I ran across on YouTube late last night, the wee hours of the morning. I sent it out to a few friends of mine online. And once again, this guy was taking a domestic trip here in the United States. And when he, you know, they everybody knows that they x-ray the contents of what you're carrying on, so there are no explosives that, you know, get on the, you know, the, Like, for instance, if you're carrying a tube of toothpaste, they're going to spot it through the x-ray. You know, you can't, they're going to confiscate it from you. You know, you got a bottle of liquid, bottle of water, orange juice or whatever, gone. You know, box cutters, gone. All right. Everybody knows that. Okay. So this guy gets flagged because he's got cash. All right. But he's got a lot of cash, something to the tune of about $100,000. Now, I've been on my share of international flights coming back into the United States, like many of you who listen to this podcast live stream right now. And if you've got $10,000 or more, you got to declare it, come back into the United States, and you fill out this little thing and turn it back into the stewardess and all that, and that's that. Okay. Now, and in all my little international flights between two or three continents that I've been on, okay, I've never seen anybody get pulled over. All right, including me. Now, so this guy's on a domestic flight where, you know, so he got flagged going to this room, you know, by orders of the TSA, and then an investigator comes in, and you got to play, I don't know if Robin had it queued up, but anyway, this guy wasn't, they confiscated his cash. He had like $100,000 cash. Why? Because he was making a trip to buy equipment for his business. They checked out his story. They checked him out. There were no warrants for his arrest. He was under no investigation, criminal investigation himself, but they confiscated his cash, although they did make him an offer that there will be no investigations and you can go home if you do whatever. Scary. 619-768-2945. Let's go to 425. 425, what's your good morning, happy new year, 2022. What are your thoughts?
That what they're doing, the young man said, I was wrong, and I agree, and I think that should be illegal because they conduct an investigation and they basically try you, convict you, And you suffer the consequences, right? They deliver a sentence on you, take your money from you there's no criminal charges, no arrest, no opportunity to defend yourself, nothing like that. And these guys aren't lawyers. They're not police officers, but they have the authority to confiscate. And then they said that less than 10% of those cases were ever investigated, and there have been zero arrests and zero criminal charges ever brought up on any of these confiscations from the airport, ever.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, and by the way, people, in that video, the video that Robin's talking about, because I sent a copy of that to Robin, this is videotape.
Yeah.
This is the government videotaping this.
Yeah.
So.
And then when there was no charges pressed, no investigation, no nothing, that money should be returned. Now, they mentioned the FAIR Act. There's a representative in Michigan that's pushing the FAIR Act, which would remove them guys from being able to confiscate
your money and not return it without criminal charges and stuff like woo-woo-wah-wah, okay?
Right.
Now, it's died.
Right.
It's died, but so people need to raise awareness and speak up and push for the FAIR Act, okay? Because the police can pull you over, and they have devices that can scan your phone for your account, for your money account, and lock and freeze and take control and confiscate your money from your cell phone devices too, under that same action. Oh, we think that you're a drug dealer. Where'd you get all this money from? Even if you know how some people are still old school and they go and they cash their check. Okay.
Right?
That's $1,500, $2,000, $3,000. You cash that check and you're going home and you're going around to pay your bills and buy your groceries and do whatever. You get pulled over. Hey, what? Now you're going to get profiled. Now you got an answer. Now you might get confiscated. Because, well, you're in the neighborhood. You don't have your receipt. You don't have this. You don't have that. Okay. Well, show me online then. Well, I'm old school. I don't have an account. And they are enriching themselves in their agencies because there's no accounting. Watch this. What happens to that confiscated money? Where does it go into? It goes into...
Well,
you
know what? That's what the DEA does. What the DEA does, because basically the DEA, now this is LA's interpretation of the DEA, Drug Enforcement Agency. Basically the DEA,
right.
Once again, this is the caveat on this is LA's interpretation of the DEA. They basically rob drug dealers. They rob drug kingpins and use their rules and regulations to basically legally confiscate cash and cash assets or financial assets from drug kingpins to fund their operations of the DEA. Once again, that's LA's interpretation of it.
Watch this. These are.
But if we do it, we go to prison.
DEA. Wait a
no,
minute.
It's not
this
the DEA. This is the TSA.
DEA. This is the TSA. So now there's no accounting. What does the TSA do with that money? They take it internally. There's no chain of command. There's no nothing. We know what the DEA does with it. They fund their operations, right? But TSA,
right.
What does TSA need to fund? So they take that money and they just divvy it up among themselves. Whoever compensated that money, they probably get a generous reward off of it and blah, 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 blah. Okay? Yep.
You know, I was, here's what I'm going
to
do from there, and this is, I'm doing this on,
money.
I have no idea. But, like, I know they had a bomb scare, well, not a bomb scare, but a high alert. This is right after what? Not too long after, 9/11, catching a flight back to the United States. And I was over in mainland Europe, so I had to go through Heathrow Airport in London, England, to get back here to the United States. So, matter of fact, my flight originated in Germany. So what I did was, with this high alert thing, I said, you know what? The only thing I'm going to carry with me, I didn't carry no luggage, zero money, no credit cards, just my passport and the clothes on my back. That was it.
Yep.
Because I didn't want no shit getting back here into the United States. Now, once again, I'm typically not a conspiracy theorist, but after that video that I sent Robin and some other people that she just commented on, I'm thinking, what was the real reason why they formed the TSA after 9/11? because they put that agency up real quick. So I'm thinking now after hearing this guy's story, I may have to do like I did in London several years ago, is when I travel by plane in particular, I'm getting on with my state issued ID and the clothing on my back, and if I do carry cash, no more than $20. And I'm going to eat before I get on the plane, because if I won't get hungry on it, you know, if I got a good, because I think he went from like North Carolina to California, someplace like that. But I watched that video two or three times before I sent it all to people, because it's totally crazy. You're not arrested. The man was not arrested. There were no warrants out for his arrest. He's not an isolated case. It happened to people before him. It's happening today.
He did have a criminal, some sort of something on
10 years ago. 10 years ago, yeah. But he had no active case. There was no active criminal investigation on him. There were no warrants out for his arrest. His whole thing came down to all that. And they checked out that story because he said he was going to buy equipment. So his alibi, he didn't get no money back.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's totally crazy. So you know what? I'm going to go old school where I can. In some cases, instead of paying me cash, buy me some groceries, you know, because all you do basically is you. I mean, what did we do before there was legal tender? Let me give a quick history lesson.
Yep.
When the Declaration of Independence was signed, July 4, 1776, there was no such thing as Federal Reserve notes. There was no federal currency, legal tender, until 16 years later. So George, those guys, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas, all those guys who signed the Declaration of Independence got wealthy without dollar bills.
Yep.
Once again, it came. Look, you can look that up yourself. The legislation came 16 years after the Declaration of Independence was set up. And then, of course, a lot of people got wealthy 200-300 years before the Declaration of Independence came into being. So people use social capital, you know. Monticello was built using a lot of social capital.
Let's go back to before there was money, right? They used to use precious metals, precious stones, spices, cloth.
Oh, we used to trade.
Cloth.
Yeah, we used to trade.
Yes. Yes.
You know, furs.
So,
if I was a shoe cobbler and you were
you could exchange one action for another. I'll fix your shoes if you paint my room. If you do my accounting or something,
Right, that system.
And put the signal out if you host the shows.
Right. If you look at that, if we look at the history of mankind, let's say financial transactions, commercial transactions. If you look at the history of mankind, the current system hasn't been around that long. Okay. From the caveman to pre-biblical times to biblical times. Matter of fact, If you look at the miracles of Jesus, when they ran out of water to wine, when he turned water to wine, I know it's an allegory and all that, or you say if I, you know what the common denominator with all those miracles? No money was used.
No money
currency
was
used. Yeah, no money was exchanged. Currency in the form of social capital was used. Okay. But when they had the miraculous catch, you know, they had the skill set for that. But no legal tender, as we define it and know it today, was used.
Yeah.
Even when he had to pay that, what, he paid Caesar's what Caesar's, which involved a shekel or two or whatever it was, they went fishing
shekel.
For that.
Shekel.
So I'm looking at some people, if you offer me money, now it all depends on, I know I'm going to need some government-issued legal tender. But I might add, well, you know what? I need me a dozen eggs. How about a dozen eggs? Instead, you know what? Instead of paying me these few dollars, just pick me up a dozen eggs, and well, I'll be good that way. Or pick up something from the deli. You know, bring me some pastrami or a loaf of rye bread. I'm going to operate on that level. I won't be able to do it 100%, you know, but, and they got a bunch of hack videos online because you got these travel bloggers that they travel around the world. But they're not using all cash and all, you know, their, like, for instance, for accommodations, you can go on Couchsurfing, couchsurfing.com or couchsurfing.org. Let's say you want to go and visit Romania, but you want to save, you're on a tight budget, and, you know, you just don't have a lot of money for accommodations or no money at all for accommodations. All right. Go to couchsurfing.com, you're able to do it. I mean, one of the reasons why I was able to do Europe so much, like 6 months out of the year for five consecutive years, really I had a lot of social capital. I'd get over to Europe, and I didn't have to pay for accommodations 6 months out of the year for five consecutive years. I had social capital. You know, now I stay at so-and-so's place, and I pitch in money for transportation and groceries. And, you know, any kind of money I needed, you know, for spending money or whatever. But that was it. I didn't have to pay for accommodations. And those same friends that I had over in Europe and other parts of the world, when they would come visit me here in the United States, they didn't have to pay me not a dime, not a penny to stay at my place.
Mm-hmm.
Food included.
Yep.
I mean, at-home food included. Now, if they wanted something special, you know, whatever, that's on them. So nobody came to mind. I had people from New Zealand come, Iceland come over, Germany, England, the Caribbean, and, you know, and so in transportation, because I've had some friends that they came over to the United States to meet somebody and it didn't work out, and I was like a lifeline. Because I remember one time when I was living in Washington, D.C., I had to drive from D.C. to Boston's Logan Airport. That's like a 9 to 10 hour drive one way.
Mm-hmm.
Picked them up at the airport on time. Then we made our way back. We slept over in Jersey for a night, then rolled on into D.C., didn't charge a penny for that. All based on social capital.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
After this story, I'm looking at I'm looking at
the IOs are the currency.
People are the currency.
Yeah.
People are the currency.
Because
you're absolutely
right. Vibrate. We vibrate at a frequency. All of us do. Every object emanates a frequency. Every
right.
object. Okay?
Right.
And so that's energy. That's electric. That's vibe. Vibrant. So.
Right. Now, before we go to the next caller, I also wanted to comment on Monday we had a on Monday we had a call. Well, we did a 2-hour bit with a lady, Rosemary, who was at the time, I don't know what she's doing now, homeless.
Hi, Rosemary.
And I don't know if she's listening, but. Oh, she is. But now Rosemary called me every day, a few times a day, for 3 consecutive weeks. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So on Monday, you and Lola gave her some good instruction. Real talk, good advice on
mm-hmm.
what to do about her situation. And one thing I didn't realize until you brought it up, Rosemary was, I guess, trying to call shots. And she really wasn't in a position to be a shot caller, so to speak. Anyway, long story short, today, Thursday, I have not heard back from Rosemary since that interview on Monday. And as we heard during the podcast on Monday, she said she was cold and all this, that, or the other, but I have not heard back from her. And more importantly, she was given instruction that to call you, Robin. But she didn't. You haven't heard from her, so because it, my end of the table, okay. There's nothing I can do because you guys really broke it down. She needed a social worker. But what's interesting for 3 consecutive weeks, including Christmas Day, Rosemary called me at least 3 or 4 times on Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. And she called in Monday. We spent 2+ hours with her online. I basically just listened because I already knew my limitations, you know. But you and the other lady gave her good advice, including prayer. But Rosemary has to put feet to those prayers, and I have not heard back.
Prayer.
From her sense.
We gave her some solution. We gave her a way. We can listen. Blah, blah, blah. Call Robin Lynn, and Robin Lynn will set up, and everyone, you can get the money to Robin Lynn. Robin Lynn will tell you where to blah, 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 like that, right? So,
right.
So no, you're not, no one's going to send you money directly, right? And we will get any money sent in to you, but she didn't even connect herself with me. So watch this. Let's say somebody had called, and I've got money sitting here waiting for her.
Right.
Okay. So the first thing that I told her is when you find, and this is what I tell anyone, when you find yourself in a situation that you need help, two things. The first, be humble. The second, help somebody else out of the situation that you're in, even if you can't get help out of that situation. Try that. Yes. Those things, and the lady repeated it today. I got blessed, and I was trying to help him. I was just trying to help him, and I ended up getting blessed. And that's how that worked. It worked. It worked. It worked. But you got to be humble. How are you going to be demanding and shot calling somebody that comes to help you out of your desperation that you probably got there out of, now this is hard, but it's real, out of a poor decision or a poor choice. And so somebody
right.
might say, and we're not excluding things beyond your control, okay? But sometimes it's your poor decision, a poor decision making, okay? Or you've been doing right, now all of a sudden, out of all these years, you up jumped the boogie, now you're going to go gamble or go, instead of paying your rent, you're going to go take a trip or go buy something, or you just go crazy because now you're 56 and crazy. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
right.
And you end up in a situation, but you have to be humble. And I don't care what situation that you're in, be humble, because the person, the people that come to help you, they humble themselves. We humble ourselves to come help you. Okay?
Right.
And not putting anybody down, but we actually get down and we lay ourselves down and get down on your level. What do you want? What do you need? In that moment of time, we stop what we're doing to reach in our pocket to pull out to come help you or to come listen 2 hours. To try to determine if
that's
you want something out to help you, okay?
And that's why I bought her on. I said, okay, I knew I wasn't in a position to help her, but you've got, you know, you've been out there right where she claims to be. And then Lola Denise Brown,
uh-huh.
you know, has got a background too, a positive background. So, but you guys... You listened to her story directly. It wasn't L.A.'s interpretation. She was actually on here giving her story and calling her shots, so to speak. and I think she broke down and cried one time. I don't, you know, I guess.
Yes, she did.
But,
it's still cold. I'm outside. Uh-huh.
The main thing is, we weren't going to send any money directly to her because, like I say, if she had called Robin, you know, Robin on her end would have found a suitable motel or whatever. And you know, by the day. But she was calling the shots
yeah.
on that. She wanted it to all of this month.
Yeah, and then watch this now. At one point, she disclosed a certain income to L.A. because they've had previous conversations, right?
She told me, and I'm glad she brought that up. I'm glad she brought that up.
Any income.
3 weeks ago, because I told her when she originally contacted me, you know, what's your income? And, you know, she told me she was getting $661 for SSI.
Yeah.
She told me that 3 weeks ago, all right? So when this first came around, because once again, this woman called me every day.
Yep.
2, 3, 4 times, depending on the day, including Christmas Day. All right? It was Rosemary. Okay. So on January 1st, I said, well, you should be straight by now. Because I'm looking at the 661. Okay.
Yep.
She said no, so she kept on calling. So Sunday, this past Sunday, I said, you know what? The woman is persistent. See, I even overlooked. That's why that is. I'm not a social worker. That's not my lane because I keep on listening to the bullshit. Okay. So I said, let me put her on. I said, let me put her on somebody who's got experience with this.
Sure.
You know, so Robin and then Lola Denise Brown was on too. So my lane that day was calling in, setting up the platform for the day, and opening up mics. That was my assignment for the day when it came to that. Mm-hmm. All right. And then Robin and Denise, Brown from Nashville, they gave her sound advice, including prayer, right at the end.
Yeah.
Okay, and she got instructions on how to contact Robin, and she called Robin because I know for a fact Robin has sent food, groceries, whatever she needed. Robin had with it to do, she was told up front, we're not sending you any money direct.
Yeah.
Okay,
listen,
but she was shot calling. She needed something for the whole month. No,
you might have to relocate. You might have to go. So there might not be resources where you're at. So you might have to go here, there, wherever. Well, you know, yeah, but and blah blah blah. How am I going to get there? Well, how do you get yourself wherever you're going right now, Chicky? Is what I'm saying.
Right, because
okay.
Valdosta, Georgia is like 29 miles away. You know what? But right there in Jasper, Florida, Hamilton County, there's the police station. You know, there's Jacksonville's 90 minutes away. So, you know what? The biggest asset that she had was time. I walked a marathon. That's 26 miles. Okay.
Listen.
So
however long it okay, so watch this. I figured it out. I can walk 3 miles in 20 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. So and that's not walking at a fast rate or anything like that. So, 20-minute walk.
Right.
You know?
Well,
walk.
And walking is good exercise.
Walk.
So she had the time to walk. Anywhere in Jasper, she had the time to walk to Valdosta, Georgia. Okay, she had the time and the health to do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I haven't heard back from Rosemary since our Monday talk. So, one of the lessons I learned from that is, okay, if anybody comes to me in that situation again, and they probably will, is, hey, look, man or woman, you got to get yourself a social worker. Get that part of your life straight, then come see me, and then we can help you build the place. We can help you build a structure,
but you got to get yourself a social worker first. Yeah, we're not a program. We don't do case management. And so in LA, the second that you identify that a person has more issues that you can't not accommodate, that's the second that you stop trying to put any more effort into relieving them of their situation. okay?
Right.
People have to go to the appropriate place for help. And it has to make sense. Okay?
Right.
So it would make sense for me to be on the phone calling the shelters, seeing if they have a bed open, because that's how you get in. They'll tell you, nope, we're full, call back again at the same time tomorrow. And a lot of times, shelters will do that because they have people that come in and they take up shelter space and they waste it. So they want to see how determined you are. So if you call in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days in a row consistently without break, then they'll let you in. You have to demonstrate some certain type of character even still. You understand? So
right.
So you need to be on the phone calling and doing activities to find your shelter rather than being on a nationwide call radio show asking for help from millions of people that you don't know. It would make more sense to be there on the ground building your social capital where you're at. Okay?
Right.
And I can tell just from certain things that I came to know and understand about this person is this person burns bridges. She lights them up, sets them on fire, and then she expects for other people to help her out of that. So one thing I want to say to people, because I've encountered people that need help, okay? And it's like, okay, so I always look at the motivation behind it or the intent, okay? So are you fleeing from domestic violence? Did something happen in your home, fire, blah, 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 right? Flood, water heater, right? Okay, that makes sense, okay? But in a case where, I'm married, I'm 50, I'm pregnant, I've got a husband, but I'm not living with him, okay? So I'm just going to up jump the boogie, and I'm just going to go. Now I'm out here homeless. Now I need for the people to help me, and I only got $661 a month. This is what I'm going to say to people. Y'all can do what you want to do, okay? But if you are up jumping the boogie and you are just leaving your stability, your husband, and it's not due to domestic violence, but more because maybe you're doing dope and they're not putting up with your behavior, your bad behavior, and that's why you want to leave, okay? This is what I'm telling you. If you want to leave on your own accord, then plan for it. Even people that are in domestic violence situations, we tell them to plan for it. Set aside money outside of the house, a way that they can't see it. Get plane tickets. Do whatever. Get another set of ID. You plan for it. Stack your money. Because when you go out there, you have to pay for your way. Okay? So if you're in a stable environment, you're married, and you're only getting $661 a month, stay there. Work it out. Get a divorce and get some alimony to supplement that $661. That's how you do that. But don't leave your stability and then expect for people to help you because you got bad behaviors that you don't want to be accountable for that nobody wants to put up with at home. And then you want a shot call at that. Yeah.
LA. According to her, and I did speak to her husband, in the past one time.
Supposedly.
He's in Georgia working at Chick-fil-A. And I didn't get into details why they're not together. And you know. And she was transparent. She said her and her daughter don't get along. She was staying with her daughter, but she got kicked. So she's got social capital issues. I didn't get into the background of that with no judgment. Now, knowing all that, I still put her on Monday because I knew that this is not my lane. So Robin is more equipped. Lola Denise Brown's more equipped. So they gave good advice and it, whatever. So on that note, if you got your comments on Rosemary's situation, Rosemary is representative of many people. Okay, representative of many people. So we're not picking on Rosemary. And the guy who got his, well, as he stated, the guy who got robbed by TSA. Your thoughts on that? The 6th, I guess it's January 6th. 314, your mic is open.
LA, what's going on, man?
2022. That's what's happening. New year.
Well, let me tell you something. Hello, Robin. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
You guys going to get your third stimulus check, $1,400?
When you said third, the first thing I thought of was booster shot.
Yeah, there's supposed to be another stimulus check. Another stimulus check coming out.
Really? I didn't know.
Yeah, that's what I was reading. If you don't make a lot of money, you receive it. And
well, that's something that Rosemary needs to get on top of.
There you go. I guess I don't know who that person is, but no, the person that was carrying the money through the airport. Actually, the TSA is only supposed to provide safety for passengers that's traveling.
That's what I thought.
Commercial flight.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yes, they don't have the power of arrest. And the question about where you got it from really is not pertinent. Anyway,
it's not a court. It's not a court. They do, like, they detain you. They investigate you. They have like a court trial, a hearing, and they sentence you, all without no arrest, no charges, no lawyer, no nothing. But you got to sit there and answer that simply because of how you're dressed. And the color of your skin. Yep.
Well, the skin color ain't got nothing to do with it because you got more Africans travel on planes than you do Black Americans. See, that stuff talking, using the old alibi of Black Americans' skin color don't apply when you're in the rest of the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the way the law is implemented. Because I was leaving out the country, and I had some African currency, and I got pulled over to the side, and they wanted to know where I was going with all this money. And eventually they let me go. Well, coming into the country, you're supposed to declare it like L.A. talked about previously. You can travel any place in the United States with any amount of money.
Exactly.
So he was traveling from one state to the other. There wasn't nothing wrong with that. So what you got is some people that's using abuse of power. And you see a lot of that with this Joe Biden administration. like the people that's being held in D.C. jail for what occurred a year ago, January 6th, without due process or bail. That's totally illegal. But, and you know, this thing too, you know, another thing, when you say that you go over in the foreign countries in Europe where you receive social capital, well, you know, right. The IRS can tax you. You know the IRS can tax you on that. Did you know that?
For staying at a friend's house?
Yep.
Staying at a friend's house?
They
That's
said
crazy.
You receive something of value. They fed you and all that stuff. But that's some Democrats. That's what they do. They like to tax people. I keep telling folks, people don't understand until they run into these individual problems rather than studying the whole thing. Even though it doesn't affect them, it affects somebody, then they start expanding. Same way with these shot mandates. You see an overreach when they're trying to get the OSHA, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, involved in requiring employees, workers, to have COVID shots. That's not their assigned purpose. Just like TSA, assigned purpose is not to investigate criminality. So... people sit back and let that stuff go by and start it all small generally, like putting up gun-free zones around schools. Well, you can't put up a gun-free zone around schools. What about the houses that's in that zone? Less than Democrats for you.
Well, you know what, Pianca, now you brought up an interesting point. On the Andy Griffith Show, they did an episode where Hank B was out in California, and she went on one of those game shows back in the day, and she won prizes, but she couldn't keep none of the prizes because she didn't have enough money to pay the taxes on the gifts. That she would, I mean, because the way they set it up, like on the Price is Right or whatever, you know, you want a new refrigerator or want a new car. But the thing is, a lot of those people who win those things, as you just pointed out, they can't accept them because they don't have enough money to pay the taxes on them. So.
Well, yeah, then you got to pay state taxes. Mm. The state that you live in, unless you live in Florida or Nevada. Where residents don't have to pay state taxes.
Right.
If you live abroad, you have to live abroad X number of days before you can be exempt from paying taxes in the United States to the federal government, and then you have to comply with whatever state law where your domicile is, your state is.
Of
people incorporating their companies in states like Nevada and
isn't
Delaware.
South Dakota one of those states now? Yeah, Delaware and I think South Dakota. One of the guests I've had on here a couple of times, Crystal Vanner, I think now she's an official resident of the state of South Dakota. They got some type of what's the term I'm trying to find? Loophole that if you're a resident, a legal resident of the state of South Dakota, you get some kind of benefit. I don't want to say tax, but some type of benefit that you get by being a legal resident of the state of South Dakota.
I don't know. I know I had a Nevada corporation. One of my companies was incorporated in the state of Nevada, so it didn't have to pay no taxes. They had a mailbox there and a phone number there.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Nevada, Nevada, Wyoming, Nevada, Wyoming, and what do you call it, Delaware. And I don't know what's going on in South Dakota, but something's going on in South Dakota.
Yeah, well, I've heard 6% state tax of Missouri. And if you're talking about a lot of money, that can be a lot of savings also.
That's true. Hold on, Pianca, for a moment. 615 area code, Nashville, Tennessee. Your mic is open.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear.
Good morning. I want to get back to the TSA.
Right.
You know, I used to work for the Department of the United States Department of Treasury, which is the IRS. I've done a little bit of everything, I would think. And the one thing that I learned, and I'm not, you know, trying to say it's good to sell dope or anything like this, but the one thing I did learn is that if you are going to have an illegal business in the United States, what you need to do is you need to have something that says that you're a business owner. Now, you can call this business anything you want to call it. That's number one. Number two, the IRS is not coming over there to see what kind of business you have. All they need to know is that you have a business, you've paid your business fee, tax fee or whatever they call it, and that whatever you make, if you save at least $30 to $100, which will leave you $90, which will leave you $70. If you're out of every 100, if you're saving $30 and you're putting it into a savings account, when it's time for you to pay taxes, you don't have to worry about it. Now, once you pay the taxes on that, if anybody stops you and tries to take your money from you, you have a legitimate reason as to why they should give you your money back. So, I mean, these people getting their money taken from them is because they don't understand what the system will do to them, because they end up paying twice. You understand what I'm saying? Not only are they paying the judge and the federal government and the state and all this other kind of stuff. This is
and a lawyer.
Yeah, and a lawyer.
And a lawyer. Yeah.
Yeah, to get them out of this mess. So, you know, and a lot of people don't understand this, who are running their so-called illegal businesses because they want all the money right then and there. That's just like, what's her name, Rosemary, trying to dictate how somebody should help her. Well, it doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. And there are, you know, in life, I've even told my children, I said, my children don't, they never wanted to listen to me. They still don't half of the time, which is all well and good, because they're going to find out eventually. In every situation you get in, you put yourself in, or comes to you, there are rules and regulations you have to follow. And if you're not willing to follow those things, then you need to be the type of person who can, you need to be the type of person who's making your own money, who can run your life the way you want to run your life, or either claim that you're not a citizen of the United States. And what is that they used to say that, they used to claim so they wouldn't have to pay taxes, and they could, you know, put a flag there, their flag there, and they can live there. You know,
are you talking about sovereign
all
citizens?
All of that right there. Huh?
sovereign citizens.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. I haven't talked about it in so long, it slipped my mind. But, I mean, you know, that's the, and still, you know, you're going to encounter troubles in being a sovereign citizen. You know, so, I mean, you know, there's so many things. I had a cousin that went to prison for 10 years because he had $1,000 in his pocket. And they dubbed him a drug dealer and sent him to prison for 10 years. This is what they do. I'm just saying.
Now, hold it. Repeat that part again, because you said something I knew about 20 years ago. You're right. If you got a business, legal or illegal, set aside, well, how much?
For every $100 set aside in a savings account, $30.
I wish somebody had told me that about 20 years. Matter of fact, well, this is one story. I had a rental property in D.C., and long story short, there was a hearing, and I showed up, but the tenant had moved out, and it was a bogus complaint. But it pulled me into the system. So the administrative judge, he had admitted it was bogus. I mean, he didn't use the word bogus, but, you know, because I'm sitting there by myself and I didn't make the complaint. So there was a fee attached to that. So what he did was he dramatically dropped it. He didn't zero it out like him. I thought he should have, but I didn't say that. But he lowered it. So I left there. And then, of course, you know, you got to check into the, on the way out, the birth. Who are you paying the money to? Yeah, because they made the clerk's office, the clerk. And essentially, had I had that little, he reduced it now. But had I had money set aside, I'm so glad you told me that. Now I know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had a legitimate license certificate. I had everything in line, but this, and they knew what this person did. But like I said, they filed a complaint, but they had moved out of the apartment unit by the time of the hearing that they you know. But it, like I said, it threw me into the system. And once you're into the system like that, you're typically not going to get off scot-free. Maybe on a traffic ticket. And I learned how to beat that, but then in even with that now, it's... But anyway, so I'm so glad you told me that. Set something aside, because eventually you're going to have to use that rainy day fund.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent advice.
That's right.
Did I send you that video, Lola?
No.
I'll send it to you after the podcast today. I sent it to about 6, 7, 8 people. Yeah, I'll send it to you. But it was Robin saw it. But
illegal.
Well, we can lose.
Illegal,
we can use.
I was going to say illegal should have all their assets seized because they're not supposed to be earning in any while they're here illegally.
Yeah, well, we get that part, okay. Just like my case, I was legal. But and the guy knew that the lady was pulling the scam. But see, once you get in front of that agency, you know, by me hiring a lawyer and all this, which I didn't, is I'm not going through all that rigmarole. It's just like Lola just said, Lola Denise Brown, boots on the ground in Nashville, Tennessee. And you know what? Okay, this is the cost of doing business. I done set aside $30 out of every $100. Okay. And one day I'll have to use it, but I won't be tripping. I won't be stressed out. I'm not going to be trying to call Perry Mason. I'm not going to try to go on seven on your side. It's just this day was coming. I knew it was coming. It might come 10, 20 years later, but it's coming.
But that's a business expense, right?
That's how I'm looking at it now.
Your adjudication,
Yeah, now, in the case of this guy that got caught with $100,000, lesson number one is don't travel with $100,000.
Well,
that's
the
first thing.
Because I used to carry, if I had a project in a Nebraska and I had to pay those employees in cash, I had to carry cash to pay them in cash. That's a requirement because I was out of town contract. So you're going to be carrying $100,000. So what's going on is that TSA is doing something they're not supposed to be doing. That's where the issue is supposed to be done. You can't – if you're doing something wrong, then you don't have no business doing something wrong, being in the wrong. And that's what needs to be addressed. You got these agencies like them that want to expand themselves on into other areas like Homeland Security, whereas – you know, at one time, they didn't have a TSA. They only brought about the TSA after 9/11 when they fired all the other employees that was doing the very same thing at airport, then brought these people back in, some who had already retired in many cases. Yeah, you got the IRS now contemplating on charging you taxes on unrealized gains. In other words, if you haven't cashed in and you're using the money, the numbers on paper to continue to trade, they want to charge you taxes on it and make you pay. That's totally wrong. But as I said before, when you talk about political aspirations by political parties, them Democrats is crazy as hell. There's consequences that you have to pay when people vote the wrong way. That's why some folks, I think, shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
And that's a whole nother podcast. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up for today, Thursday. Thank you all for calling in. Thank you all for listening. Everybody have a good rest of the day. Lola, I'm going to see that video in a few minutes.
Okay.